Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When you look at the description here of nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and famine and pestilence, this is history. These kinds of things have happened over and over and over and over again. And the reason I say that is because if we try to build a case like, well, we know we're in the last times because there's more earthquakes now than there's ever been. Really? How do we know that? We don't know that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of Luke. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Luke chapter 21. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
My friends have been to these rave parties. They go into the raves and they go in and share the gospel. And every single person they talk to wants to hear the gospel. Every single one of them. They were telling me about, they're taking a taxi to one of the rave parties and they're talking to the taxi driver. And he's talking about like all the stuff that they're doing. Like, oh yeah, you know, and he's excited about it. Yeah, we can drink alcohol now, you know, and we're smoking and we're doing, you know, all of them. We can party and we can do this stuff. And my friend says, and maybe you could even like start a church. And all of a sudden he goes dead silent. He's like, what? No, no church. No, party, you know, we want to party. but it's unprecedented in what's happening. And so our dear friends are in the process of moving from one Muslim country from which they, where they've planted a church and have been doing little reconnaissance outreaches into Saudi. They are in the process of moving from one country to another. So that's happening there. In Iran, some people say that the greatest revival on earth is happening in Iran today. And that the common people who hate the regime and want it to end are coming to Jesus right and left. The gospel is just going out so radically all over there. But here's the other thing. And I've heard this from many people. I haven't been to Israel since last year. But I have many Israeli friends. And every one of them tell me the same thing. There is an openness among the Israelis that has never existed in the entire history of the nation. So for the very first time, Israelis want to hear the gospel. They're open to hearing it. So I look at all of that, and I've been itching to plant a church in Tel Aviv for the past 10 years, and it hasn't happened yet. But I kind of feel like the Lord, you know, put that on my heart. The Lord's put a lot of other things on my heart that actually he did do. So I think, well, maybe this is coming. So when I look at the situation, I wonder if maybe there's a different scenario than we commonly hear. And that is the scenario that I just described to you. Now, we know eventually that there is going to be a false Messiah that comes. And we know that the Israelis are going to embrace the false Messiah. We know that the government of Israel will embrace the false Messiah. It seems like there's going to be a temple that's going to be rebuilt, and the priesthood is going to embrace the false Messiah. And then we know when that happens that all of the other dominoes will fall, and there will be this, the final version of the Gentiles trampling the holy city underfoot. And the book of Revelation actually tells us that the Gentiles will trample the holy city underfoot for 42 months, for 3.5 years. So all of that is my explanation for why I don't necessarily think the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. But we're obviously in a time where God is providentially working. But remember what he's doing now, beside what he's doing, you know, globally as the sovereign Lord of the earth, what he's doing is making roads for the gospel to go places. because it's the time of, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus stood up in that synagogue in Nazareth and he read from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to recover the sight of the blind, to release the captives," and so forth, "and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then Jesus rolled up the scroll. He stopped right there. You know what the very next sentence says? "And the day of the vengeance of our God." Jesus stopped before that. Because this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is that season in history where the gospel is going out. The kingdom has come and people from all nations are being invited into it. One day it will transfer from the acceptable year of the Lord to the day of the vengeance of our God. But we haven't got there yet. But the rest of this chapter takes us there. So, right after the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, the very next verse, the 25th verse, projects us out into the future, a future not yet upon us. And so he goes back, Jesus goes back now to where he started, because he started by projecting out to the end, but then he paused to talk about the near judgment, the Roman destruction of Jerusalem. But now he's going to pick up again with the bigger picture and projecting out. And so what does he say? He says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will be faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So now Jesus takes us out to the second coming. And what he's describing here is what we call the tribulation. So, signs in the sun, moon, and the stars, nations in anguish and perplexity, people fainting from terror, apprehensive of what is going to come on the world, the heavenly bodies are shaken. This is the tribulation. Jesus is describing the tribulation period here. And then the Lord comes, the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man. And then he says, "When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." So Jesus is saying that for those who are living during the time when these things are happening, he's saying, stand up and lift up your head. Now, when you go back to the beginning, when he starts to describe this period, notice verse 10. Go back to verse 10 for a moment. And this is familiar probably to many. He says, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famine, pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." Now, understand this. According to the Bible, the last days began at Pentecost. So we talk about the last days, and we're always talking about the present time and into the future. Or we use the term end times. These are the times of the end. The New Testament doesn't speak that way. The New Testament says that the end times started at the day of Pentecost. This and you know, when the people are speaking in tongues and everybody's wondering, like, what's going on here? And some are saying, oh, well, they're drunk. Peter says, no, they're not drunk. This is what the prophet Joel spoke about. And then he quotes from Joel chapter 2. And his quotation from Joel chapter 2 is, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men see vision. Your old men dream dreams. On my handmaidens and servants, I'll pour out my spirit, says the Lord. There will be signs in the heaven. And, you know, he goes on to describe the great and awesome coming day of the Lord. So Peter says what Joel talked about is starting today. So it's just, I think, important for us to realize that the end times have been going since the return of Jesus to heaven. We're living in them. Are we living in the end times? Yes, we are. And so were they. Are we closer to the return of Jesus than they were? Obviously we are. But we don't know exactly how close we are. Even though it seems like we're super close. So what I wanted to say, though, is when you look at the description here of nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and famine and pestilence, various places, fearful events, great signs, this is history. This is what the world has been like. All throughout the past 2,000 years, these kinds of things have happened over and over and over and over again. And the reason I say that is because if we try to build a case like, well, we know we're in the last times because there's more earthquakes now than there's ever been. Really? How do we know that? We don't know that. We can measure earthquakes now that they couldn't measure back then, at least, you know, ones that weren't significant. But everybody, if it was like a serious earthquake, everybody, whether they had a Richter scale or not, they knew it was an earthquake. And history records earthquakes all the time. Volcanoes, you know, when Vesuvius blew up and destroyed Pompeii and covered it in 19 feet of ash in 79. So remember, the temple is destroyed in 70. Vesuvius erupts in 79. And the explosion of Vesuvius was so incredible, everybody in the region thought it was the end of the world. I mean, it seemed like the end of the world. It was dark for days because of the ash. And you know, with all the different things, the wars and things that were going on. So all that to say, let's just be careful not to jump on that. Well, there's more wars today. There's more earthquakes. There's more famine. No, there's not. It's all what it has been throughout history. But what will happen, and this is revealed in the opening of the seals in the book of Revelation, is all of those things will be radically intensified, but the intensification comes during the tribulation period. And I think this is where we interpreters in a certain way of understanding Scripture, I think this is where we've made the mistake to think that these things were a sign we're assigned that we're getting closer and closer. Not necessarily, because like I'm saying, they've always happened. But they will be so intensified in the tribulation that at that point they will be a sign. And that's why Jesus says, when you see these things happen, look up and lift up your head. But he's talking about a level of these things that has really never been experienced by anyone before. Because Jesus even says, if these days weren't shortened, no flesh would be left alive. So, but now he goes on. And he says, he told them this parable. look at the fig tree and all the trees. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. And what does he say? He says, when they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. When the fig tree sprouts, or the other trees, when they sprout, it's springtime, so you know it's springtime that summer's coming, right? So that's what Jesus is saying. Now, in Matthew 24, Matthew doesn't add the additional and all the trees. But we know that's what Jesus said because Luke tells us that's what he said. Now, what happened in the 1970s is somebody came along with the interpretation from Matthew 24, learn a parable from the fig tree. Somebody came along and said, the fig tree is Israel. The fig tree is Israel, so we need to learn a lesson. But if they just would have gone over to Luke, they would have realized that, well, actually, Jesus was talking about all the trees. And the lesson is, when you see these things happen, just like you know summer is near when the trees start to blossom, you know that my coming is near. So that's all he's saying. But the idea that Jesus was setting apart the nation of Israel as sort of the timepiece, that is reading something into the text that the text doesn't actually say. So is Israel a factor? Yes. Is the fact that Israel is in the land today significant? Yes. I think it's indisputable that God, in his providence, brought Israel back into that land. There's no, to argue against it, which some people do, some Christians do even, I think it doesn't make biblical sense and it doesn't make historical sense. But we don't want to go to the other side and read something into the biblical text that isn't there, like, oh, the fig tree is Israel. Well, there's no place where Israel is really identified as a fig tree. Israel's identified in Jeremiah as a basket of rotten figs. Jesus tells a parable because he goes to a fig tree and there was no figs on it and he curses it. So you might say that there was a parallel between the fig tree and Israel at that point. But the problem is taking the idea that Israel is the fig tree and then reading on, there was an end time scenario that was developed and kind of set in stone that, like, well, this is how it's going to go. And let me read further and show you what I mean. And some of you will be very familiar with this. So look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can know for yourselves that summer is near, even at the door. When you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So here's the scenario. The generation that sees the fig tree blossom is a generation that will see these things come to pass. This generation will not pass until everything is fulfilled. So here's how it worked. The fig tree blossomed in 1948. Israel became a nation. The generation that sees that will not pass. So what's a biblical generation? Well, a biblical generation is 40 years, because the children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness till that generation died. How long did they wander? They wandered 40 years. So from 1948, you go out 40 years and you end up at 1988. And so in 1988, everything is going to be all wrapped up. Jesus will have returned and the kingdom will have taken over all the earth. But there's a 7-year tribulation, and we know the church won't be in the tribulation. So we subtract 7 from 88, and the rapture is going to happen in 1981. It sounded so absolutely like that's it. That it's indisputable. That's it. And we were waiting for the rapture in 1981. And many of you were too. And we're still waiting for the rapture in 2024. You know, back in those days, there's so many funny things when I think back on those days. I think of one example that stands out to me. We had these friends and they were dating. And so at one point we just said, so you guys going to get married? And they're like, no, the Lord's shown us he's coming back so soon, we don't have time to get married. Okay, well, they're not going to get married. Next thing you know, we heard they got married. Okay, well, good, that's fine. Hey, you guys can have any kids? No, can't have any kids. You know, the Lord showed us that he's coming back. We can't have any kids. And then, you know, they ended up with 3 kids. And, you know, but those kinds of things often were the result of this idea. And somehow everybody was convinced that this was what it was saying, because the fig tree is Israel and it blossomed in 1948 and so forth. You know who originated the idea that the fig tree is Israel? A guy named Hal Lindsey. You ever hear that name? Hal Lindsey wrote the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And he's the one who pretty much took the, this idea of the fig tree being Israel. So, I mean, you know, wouldn't it have been great if that was the case? That would have been wonderful. I wouldn't have had 4 kids. I would have only had 1. But, you know, it would have been great. Any time would be great for the Lord to return. But he didn't. Now, I think that we should learn a lesson. Jesus says, learn a parable from the fig tree and all the trees. We need to learn a lesson from all of these scenarios that we have invented over the years. And the lesson we need to learn is that we just don't know. Amen. That's the takeaway for us. You know, we don't know. We see things that are, you know, seem to be significant. Now, you've heard me say this, and, you know, you've heard us say this many, many times in history. Christians have thought that it was the end of the world.
Now, let's join Pastor Brian as he shares about this month's resource from Back to Basics. It's a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin.
This book is tremendous. Rebecca is brilliant, and she kind of takes on all of the current questions and opposing views that come up against those who hold the Christian faith. And the title of the book, you know, she's confronting Christianity. People are saying, well, Christians believe this and Christians did that. And she's just taking 12 of the current hardest questions that Christians are facing. Questions like, doesn't religion cause violence? Or how can you take the Bible literally? Doesn't Christianity denigrate women? Isn't Christianity homophobic? And she does a superb job in addressing these questions. And I think anybody today who's seriously thinking about what's going on in the culture and engaged in the culture, out in the workplace or wherever, this is a book you want to read, because this is going to tremendously help you to have a good response when people bring these questions up, because many are confronting Christianity, and this book will help you to know how to answer those who are confronting Christianity. Confronting Christianity, Rebecca McLaughlin.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin. You can order the book Confronting Christianity by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, will send you the book Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin to prepare you to answer some of culture's most difficult questions regarding Christianity. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of Luke. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.